Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And we got a special episode, like all of them. So special.
It's a double feature.
Yeah, it's a double feature with nothing as far as reading goes. No books. We didn't really have any time for it, so we didn't do that. Which is it's a bad excuse to make on a podcast where, you know, we don't even have a set schedule. So, like, we didn't have time to do this. Also, it's a week late and whatever, you know, it's a bad excuse. But, we did catch the new movie produced by Eli Roth called Clown and Zombievers, which I was very, very excited to catch both of those, especially in the same week. So both of those hit VOD. Well, it doesn't really help to say yesterday because odds are I won't edit it and have it up, but it hit VOD, I think, on the 20th for both of those. And, so we will be talking about that. But other than that, what's up with you, Brian?
Nothing.
Were you staring at your pants?
No.
I totally didn't piss myself, if that's what you're asking.
No, just hanging out.
Cool.
Me writing too. Junk.
Writing junk?
Yeah.
Cool.
How about you?
Hanging out. also, I wrote a little this week.
This is why we were too busy to read, huh?
Just hanging out, you know. I had a lot going on.
I don't know. I had to catch up on the Wonder Years.
No, but what's funny is all week I've been like, God, I'm so busy. But then whenever I think back, like, I watched a ton of movies this past week. I mean, I watched Birdman Top 5. Birdman and Top 5, that's it. No, Birdman Top 5.
Tons.
Those two movies, the Hunger Games, what was that, Mockingjay.
Part 1.
This documentary called Rich Hills, then this documentary about the Freemasons.
Oh, I watched one about the Freemasons also.
Was it the one on Netflix that they're pushing?
It was one on Netflix. I don't know if it was the one on Netflix.
Well, this one's sure like new and one. Popular. On Netflix. But did yours get extremely dry and boring halfway through? And then they talk about the tea party, and I'm like the Boston. No. They didn't talk about the Boston Tea Party?
And I thought you meant like the tea party. No.
The Boston Tea Party. Like the original tea party. But anyway, no, mine got... I was like, oh, cool, we're going to learn some secrets about the Freemasons. And it was called Secrets About the Freemasons. And no, it didn't do anything. It was kind of interesting. Man, and every representative of the Freemason, I'm drinking a beer and Brian's eating a donut. And it's like not barely noon on a Sunday, which your donut makes sense. And I guess my beer makes sense. It's Sunday. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. What actually happened is I ran out of Cokes and Dr. Peppers waiting on Brian to fix his stuff. I drank my last Dr. Pepper.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. But no, like every Freemason, did you notice that they like denied involvement? Like there were all these conspiracy theorists and then the Freemasons would be like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Like, yeah. No, there's this one guy in particular who's on all of them that I've ever seen. Because, I've seen more than one Freemason documentary. That guy, he's like got like white hair and glasses.
Is he on yours? Yeah.
He's on like every one of them. And he's like, I don't know what they're talking about. We just sit around and talk and stuff like that.
Yeah, he looks like Lemmy.
What? No.
Oh.
This guy has short hair.
No. The one I'm talking about has like the handlebar mustache and looks like Lemmy. Anyway.
Huh.
He's the Ace of Masons. Mason Spades? I don't know.
Mason Spades.
But,
okay, so welcome back to B-Movies, E-Books, and Freemasons.
Now, it's kind of weird that was out of everything that we talked about. That was the thing that stuck. Like, I watched something about the Freemasons. Let's talk about the Freemasons. You ever want to join it?
Kinda. There's a hall down the road from my house.
Yeah, you ought to just walk in and be like, "Ah, good day to be a Mason." Like, pretend,
put like an apron on and stuff. You know, like poorly drawn like Mason symbols on it. They wear aprons. I don't know if the listeners know that. But
yeah.
Anyway, do we have any other non-Freemason related news?
Yeah, I watched Birdman. I don't think top five really fits in this, the Chris Rock movie, but I did like it. It was a lot different than what I was thinking. But watched Birdman, thought it was extremely overrated. Acting was amazing. Movie itself was kind of self-indulgent. Did not really enjoy it. Don't see why it won, but it did bring me bring an interesting question up. Like, everyone thought it was the best picture was either going to be between Birdman and this is late, you know, the Oscars were what, over a month ago or something. But anyway, everyone thought the best picture was going to be between Birdman and Boyhood, and both of those had an interesting framing device, which I thought Boyhood was a good movie, but the framing device is actually the star of that movie. The movie itself didn't really have a plot. It was just a good character study about this kid growing up. I've already gone on. It was on my top five of last year. I liked Boyhood a lot, but I don't see how it lost to Birdman, where Birdman's big thing was everyone says it's all one take. It's obviously not one take, but it had a lot of interesting, great performances and interesting visuals done in a long take environment. But I don't really see what the big hype was about it. It was just kind of lame. It was a lame movie. Like,
don't spoil too much because I still haven't seen it.
I definitely would recommend someone watch it once with the caveat that, yeah, it's going to be a little pretentious.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was...
I saw Cinderella since the last time we did a podcast.
So you dragged your wife to it, huh?
Yep.
How was it?
Well, let's just say I understand why the original cartoon was only 74 minutes long.
Why?
Because it was way boring when it was any longer than that.
Oh, really? It's got really positive reviews.
It's boring. Like, they try to shoehorn a lot of stuff into it. I mean, the 12-year-old girls who were next to me really liked it.
Did your wife?
No, she liked she said her favorite live-action Cinderella is still Ever After.
Yeah, Kelsey likes Ever After a lot, too.
But it's like, oh, and there was creepy CG in it, okay? Because, like, whenever she, you know, put on the Cinderella dress or whatever you want to call it, they, like, CG'd her waist smaller.
Oh, really? And then,
yeah, and then it really looked like they CG'd her neck longer.
Uh-huh.
And so there was this weird, like, area of uncanny valley in her whole torso section, right? And so do you remember Mars Attacks?
Yes.
Right? And what was her name?
I don't know, the alien lady?
Yeah. Whenever she was in it and she had that weird, like,
walk. Yeah, the way she walked.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Huh.
It was creepy.
What's weird about that, was Disney, right? The new Cinderella?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear anything about it until it was out. Like, did I just happen to miss all the press on it, or did they just not do much?
There was a little bit. I only remember seeing something like maybe a month out.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't like, it wasn't like it had a huge ad campaign or anything like that.
Huh.
I don't think they really need it, though. They can say Disney's Cinderella and people will line up outside of the theaters.
That's so weird. I mean, to me, I would think that all those princess things, like the princess stories, would be an outdated concept. And yet people still love it, so I guess it's not. But I don't know. I have nowhere to go with that. But still, it just seems odd that people still flock in droves to see Cinderella.
You're saying, like, outdated as in, say, like, women's rights sort of thing?
Just in general. I mean, yes, you're waiting on your Prince Charming to save you, but at the same time...
What's funny, though,
What?
What's funny though is like you look at two of the more recent ones, like Brave, right, and Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Right, who don't do either one of those? Like they're not really anything to do about a prince or really anything like that. It's about self reliance and like sisterhood and stuff, right? They got panned for it. You know, there was a lot of people like protesting Frozen and stuff like that because it promotes lesbianism and crap.
I've never heard that. That seems so such a stretch.
Yeah, I know, especially because they're sisters. But the same thing with like Brave, it got stuff whenever it came out. You know, it was people looked on it or looked down on it because it was like it was too far away from like traditional storybook values and stuff.
Well, either way, all I was saying was that those old stories have been told so many times. I'm surprised that there's still enough interest. You know,
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know that the other thing. I don't know if we're gonna actually start this conversation, but both of those movies also the only thing that I saw as far as any women's rights criticisms about those movies is they're still promoting body type issues. That in both of those movies,
everybody wants to look like a cartoon.
Well, no, that the men look normal in those movies had realistic body types. I don't know. I haven't seen either one. But
Brave, they did not.
But the women had like giant eyes bigger than their wrists and stuff. And so anyway, I don't know. I can't really add much because I heard that criticism, but I've never seen the movie. So whatever.
So is that like anime promotes body type issues?
Yeah, well, I think anime probably does, but at the same time, like,
but it's a cartoon.
Exactly. You can't make everyone happy because the second you do that, there's gonna be so many people that are like, "But I liked it the old way," you know. So who cares?
Exactly.
Anyway, one thing I got over the last week was. Clive Barker's Books of Blood, Volume 2, was 99 cents on Kindle. So I grabbed that. And I read Dread, his short story Dread, which I liked. But it also hit me, because I own a couple Clive Barker things, short story collections mostly. I have Cabal and some The Damnation Game and some of the longer stuff, but... I haven't actually been able really to get into them, but that said, I haven't really tried, you know, like just kind of, I got them cause they were cheap. And then I was like, oh, okay. Flipped a couple pages and like, yeah, that looks good for later, you know, but Clive Barker, it's amazing. The way that he writes is so much. I like Stephen King a lot more because Stephen King's just an excellent storyteller. Right. And I think Stephen King is so just like such a great storyteller. I don't think that he what?
So great you had to say it twice.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I wanted to reiterate that his strength is not really so much in horror, even though he'll always be known for horror. He can write a great story with all these well-rounded characters and everything else. Clive Barker, totally a different kind of writer. Like, totally. I don't know. It's weird because so many people are more storytelling, where Clive Barker really puts a horrible sense of dread in a lot of his stuff, which I realize, you know, I read one called Dread. So you know. But, I mean, his stuff is so much more like literary fiction than anything. I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre. Like Stephen King is very to the point, where Clive Barker is so, he uses very, very illustrative. Obviously. So
is it more like Lovecraft then?
No. Well, like, I mean, wait, you know, he's like, got his thing like with Lovecraft. All the, do what?
You don't like Lovecraft.
No, I don't.
I'm just saying.
I mean, but I haven't read enough to be like, I hate Lovecraft. I've hated every Lovecraft thing I've read. That's what I'll say. But I like the adaptations of it. I just don't like how he doesn't really describe anything. Like, You know,
that's like the point. And it's also sort of a cop out.
It's a total cop out. Like, and I was shocked to see, you know, the this being thing
that shouldn't exist.
Now, Clive Barker's descriptive to the point of almost being gory, but his use of language just in general is so... I mean, it uses the tone of like or the actual word choices of literary fiction, you know, versus genre fiction. Like, I don't know, like upper level collegiate fiction versus the everyman type.
Okay, because I was like, I don't think I've ever heard that distinction before.
Literary fiction.
Like, yeah.
Well, literary is a genre within itself, you know, and then there's...
Just mean books?
Yeah, no, I know, but, but you know, if it's you like, pick up like a literary journal, they're not going to have stuff written at an eighth grade level. It's all collegiate.
Yeah.
Collegiate short stories. So that's like the distinction, literary fiction. We don't cover literary fiction on this podcast.
You're talking like James Joyce and stuff like that?
I'm actually, other than knowing of the name, I don't know anything James Joyce has ever written. I don't know.
Like Finnegan's Wake and stuff.
Don't know. Have no clue. Blanket. I think the biggest thing would be the Gold Tart would be the newest. Or, I'm sorry, the Goldfinch. That damn beer. The
Gold Tart.
Well, I think her name was like Donna Tart or something. I don't know. This beer's throwing me off. But anyway, no, the Goldfinch would be more along the lines of what I'm trying to describe. Like, anyway, but it's just odd, just reading them back to back, the different writing styles. Whereas Stephen King is such just kind of an everyman, and he writes about a 8th, 10th grade level.
He's accessible.
Yeah. And that's probably why he's so much more... He's A, more mainstream, B, more successful in
that, and probably all the lack of bondage and stuff.
yeah. But, I don't know. I will say Clive Barker's stuff does have a very, you know, S&M, kind of gay S&M overtone
really,
to a
lot. Really? I've never noticed.
Well, that was like, I don't know when it was, like back in 08 or so, I was talking to a friend about Clive Barker, which, you know, I'm not a huge fan. I like what I've read and like his short stories, but I'm not, you know, big Clive Barker fan. I think Lord of Illusions, the movie, was the worst thing I've ever seen. So, sure is dusty here on Mars. But like... I was talking to a friend and I was like, yeah, I didn't know Clive Barker was gay. And he was like, what tipped you off? He was like, what tipped you off out of all the S&M Cenobite world of Hellraiser and all this stuff? And I just didn't know. Huh. But anyway... So, yeah, I don't know if you can still get it, but Clive Barker's Book of Blood Volume 2 is on Amazon for 99 cents. So
cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you need to read Book of Blood 1
no.
to understand it?
No, but I would say Book of Blood Volume 1 has some great stuff in it. Great stuff. So
cool.
Anyway, other than that, between that and watching all those movies... Don't really
no
know.
Time to read anything for the podcast.
Well, I thought about, you know, when this was 99 cents and I was halfway reading it, I was like, should we do this and discuss Dread? Which you would have loved, maybe, or you would have hated. It's very bleak, and sometimes on the bleak stuff, you tune out.
No, I like bleak stuff.
I don't know. You seem to hate Burden.
Well, Burden was weird, because it was like... It wasn't bleak like, you know, the end of the mist bleak. It was bleak like, oh, God, that's like probably somebody's real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little different.
Yeah.
When it's, you know.
I don't know. Just giant
Lovecraftian monsters and you kill your family and stuff to escape it. And then the army comes by Oh, spoiler alert for the end of Myst. Right?
But that's only the TV, or that's only the movie version.
Yeah, but King said he liked that version better.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, we ought to start doing some Book of Blood reviews.
I think. Yeah, we should be B-Movies, E-Books, and Clive Barker.
No, but instead of culling everything out of Dead Clown Barbecue, you know, it's another.
Yeah, let's do some Clive Barker.
Yeah, I'd like to.
I'm down.
Midnight Meat Train was really good. Like the what? Sorry.
So it's like, how could you not tell?
I know. After I said that. Yeah, Midnight Meat Train was real good. Oh, but there's one. What was it called? The Pig Blood Blues? Pig Blood Blues. We should do that. I would love to cover that on here. So
okay.
This is mostly a discussion we should have after the podcast.
No.
Anyway. Yeah, I didn't really see anything as far as new movie stuff this week. Did you?
I just saw a bunch of announcements for sequels and stuff.
Yeah.
Like Tremors 5 and like Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2.
Yeah.
And probably some other stuff.
Yeah, and what's your opinion about Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2? Like, is he ruining a canon, or is he? Are you happy to see it?
I'm happy to see it. Yeah. I'm always excited to see new installments of other things. You know, like there's a few I think that don't need it, right?
Like
Watchmen.
What about Fight Club? The graphic novel.
I have not read it yet, but I'm interested to see where it goes. I mean, now see, that's kind of different. They have to go in a sort of different direction for that, because the whole thing about Fight Club was, you know, that he was both people, you know, and also a ghost. it's like, that's it though, you know? So then where do they go from there? And so it's kind of interesting to see, but it's like, I don't know. I'm always interested to see stories continue. Whether or not they'll be good, you know, is another thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think Mallrats is underrated.
I love Mallrats, and I agree. I think it's underrated. But I'm a big mark for Kevin Smith in general. I like most of his stuff. I would like to see him pursue a lot of these more bizarre, you know.
Like Tusk.
Yeah. More bizarre films that he has in him. But if he wants to go back to the Buisk universe, I don't think that the fanboys should stop him. Like, and that's, I know he's getting he got a lot of crap for going back for Clerks 2, but you know what? I mean, I love Clerks 2.
And he had always said that he wanted to like revisit them in like 10-year intervals or whatever.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but he's also said that, you know, he wanted to kill him off in the first one too, and go with the original ending. So I don't know. He says a lot more than he delivers. You know that man. Just,
but here's the thing: it's like, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't. Okay, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, just on principle, if you like Clerks, go see Clerks 3 or whatever. You know, like Mallrats, go see Mallrats 2. But if you don't like it, you never have to watch it again.
Yeah. I just...
I don't... And then you just pretend it didn't happen, and then you're fine.
Yeah. Or realize that as much as you love things, your life should be your life. You know? Like, it shouldn't make a big impact on your life.
I don't think we should go that far.
What? Well, no. Clerks is my favorite movie of all time. And when they announced Clerks 2, I was like, I hope they don't mess it up. But then, yeah, before it even came out, I was like, who cares? Clerks will always be there.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't cheapen the original thing.
No, and in fact, I love Clerks 2. Love it. Like, I think it's amazing. But there's certain things that are cheapened by sequels, and they shouldn't be. Like
Shawshank Redemption 2.
That would suck. But
it's just them working on a boat on a beach for 2 hours.
You know, it is surprising that whenever Stephen King finally did make sequels, you know, because for so long he was like, no, I don't do sequels, that the first thing that he did was The Shining. You know, that is weird. Like something that.
Well, if you're going to reverse your stance on sequels, might as well piss off everybody in the process.
Well, I never read Dr. Sleep, but I know it wasn't met with, it was met with a lot of criticism. And I wonder if it's just because it's kind of a, you know, it's got Danny from The Shining and it's kind of a sequel kind of, I mean, it's a sequel, but it, you don't have to read The Shining to get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it does open up. The other thing is people don't own these characters. And that's one thing. I don't really want to get into this discussion, but that's one thing.
You're talking about when like a studio calls for a sequel?
Well, no, yeah. I'm just saying people don't, the fans don't own these characters. And yet the fans, there were other things recently where the fans have made changes to, you know what I'm talking about? It was a conversation we had earlier.
Start with
this
a
week.
J, end with an ochre.
Kind of, but I don't. I mean, it just opens up a bigger thing that everyone has an input these days, and maybe they shouldn't.
Because I don't think they should.
Because it has nothing to do. Like, honestly, the Joker discussion sparked that discussion, or the Joker change on the, what was it, Batgirl variant cover.
Yeah.
It was sparked the discussion that we were talking about, but it doesn't apply exclusively to them. It's just that people are like, I don't like that. Change it, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know what?
If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, because I am not for censorship of any kind.
No, and you know what? Like, a lot of times, the most interesting things are things that, as far as what I read and stuff, there are things I don't agree with, you know? Mm-hmm. It's things that do offend me and stuff. And yet, you know, I don't know. We're opening it up to a lot of potential people having something to say about what we are saying. So,
well, that would be great, because I would like to have conversations with people about things.
I would, too. Whenever I
try to... Drop us a line at bmoviesandebooks@gmail.com.
Yeah, for the Gmail that we never check. It's so bad that...
Dude, I have it forwarded.
Yeah, but we went like 5 months without noticing people were tweeting us.
We're getting better at it.
Yeah, we are better on our Twitter game than we have been in a long time.
Beanie Pod.
Yeah, hit us up at BNE Pod. But no, like,
in a couple months we'll get back to you.
That's the thing, though. Whenever it is a change for, you know, like in the Catwoman, or sorry, Batgirl thing, with that change, I tried to get involved with the discussion that a friend of mine was having on Facebook, and immediately, because I didn't agree with it, it was just like, well, you wouldn't, blah blah blah, you have so many privileges and stuff, and then people were blocking me on Facebook. It was just met with so much vitriol, and literally all I said is, I don't know where the line is blurred anymore. And then they're like, oh, blurred lines, buzzword. Like, you're a douche.
Oh, Robin Thicke.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, like, it's frustrating that the people that push, just, and this, it doesn't, is not just exclusively to them. This applies to politics. It applies to wherever. The people that push for reform when people want to talk and discuss it are like, it's my way or the highway. You know, mm-hmm. It's just frustrating. There is no like open discourse anymore. And that's why we're seeing shit like people shutting down the government. This is so different of a discussion than where we've gotten. But no, like these lawmakers shutting down the government because they didn't like that Obama got Obamacare. You know, let's shut down the government. Bunch of little.
Yeah. After it had been outvoted, like, you know, trying to overturn it had been outvoted, what, like 5 times? And they're like, well, fine, then we'll just leave.
Yeah, we'll shut it down. We'll have Ted Cruz sitting there. Anyway.
Anyway, but what I really want to know, okay, and here's what I think is most important. Where are they going to go from here in like Tremors 5?
What about Tremors 5?
I don't know. I never even saw Tremors 4.
You didn't? It was a Western. You'd have loved it.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was back so to perfection. So it was Tremors 1.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tremors 2 yeah, with yeah. the flying Tremors. They were farting.
No, Tremors 2 was not flying. Tremors 2 was the little ones. They came out of them, out of the egg sacs.
Okay. Then Tremors 3 was Tremors the flying
Tremors 3
one.
Was flying.
Tremors 4
blasters.
Was the Western one.
So where do they go from here?
Tremors in space. Like, space Tremors? Oh, my God. Dude, like flying and through, like busting out of black holes and hitting spaceships. That'd be great. Why not? You know? Maybe they...
We need to get you to Hollywood.
Yeah, all the science can follow.
Yeah, yeah. That's where they have consultants.
Oh, yeah. Right? You know, I would just say that the
we'll
Tremors...
We'll get Neil deGrasse Tyson and see if he wants to consult on your Tremors 6 script.
Well, you could say that the Tremors were like a, you know...
Like, they're what causes the black holes. They're making wormholes in space.
I was just going to say that a superior life form is attacking Earth with their weapons of choice, which are these graboids.
Okay. Okay. So,
anyway, I don't know though, but there's a million ways. Or they could just basically
all script ideas, copyright, B movies and ebooks.
You know what? There's a freebie, Hollywood. You just hit me up with a special thing. Because I guaranteed that movie would bomb.
You think so? Oh, speaking of sequels, Sharknado 3 was announced.
Yeah.
And was it called like, oh, hell no.
Really?
Or something like that.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I knew it was greenlit before 2 aired.
Yeah.
Do you think this will be the last, or do you think...
I think they'll keep going.
I can't see Sci-Fi Channel not,
well,
you know,
it
not
just depends.
Milking a cash cow until it's dead.
It depends on how it's seen this time. Because at first, you know, Sharknado 2... had like a huge cult following before it even happened.
Yeah.
You know, huge like social media blitz and everything like that.
I do think that we're going
to. If
that
happens.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
If that happens again, then yeah, they'll definitely make a 4. If it doesn't, this will probably be the last one.
I don't think this will be the last one anyway. I mean, it's Sci-Fi Channel. If it was a channel that seemed to care what people said. These guys, they're going to ride it until the last fan is done with it. You know, that's what they do. I don't know. I think burnout is approaching quickly because even me, I'm like obviously we're going to cover it on here. We have to.
Yeah, this one on the poster had a hammerhead. What?
Whoa! I'm back in. But. Anyway, I don't know. I saw an interesting preview last night. It was called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on demand right now. And it looks really cool. There was actually a few interesting previews, but that's pretty much the only one that would apply to B-movie fans.
Why are you pigeonholing us?
Because we're called B-movies and e-books.
Yeah, we have to set a certain standard.
Yeah, but this was like, I believe I could be wrong, but I think that it's Iranian mm-hmm. vampire movie shot in black and white. It looks really cool. And so I think she is, you know, walking. I couldn't get much out of the preview other than the fact that she's a vampire. And I think that she's walking at night and stuff to lure potential, you know, pieces of shit that would mess with a woman at night. And killing them. So anyway, it nice. Looks kind of cool.
Like hard candy.
Yeah. Yeah, hard candy. Like, I love that movie. You know? I think that's such an interesting premise because it almost has you rooting for what is clearly a horrible, horrible excuse of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Ellen Page? No, yeah. I'm just kidding. No, like you're on her side, but the severity of it is just like, oh my gosh. And the other cool thing is that everything is off screen in that movie. Mm-hmm. That's a movie that'll make you cringe by all off-screen violence. Pretty cool. Anyway, Checkmate. I don't know why everything got quiet, but
I don't know. So
you want to get in?
Beavers?
Yeah, yeah. You want to take a quick break or just jump in?
We should probably take a break.
All right, we'll be back.
A big brown beaver and she shows him off to all her friends. One day you know that beaver tried to leave it, so she gave him up a cyclone fence. Along came Lou with the old baboons and recognized that smell. It smells like seven legs. That beaver ain't got a and he traveled with the carnival shows. Ran bump cars, sucked cheap cigars, and he candied up his nose. He got wind of the big brown beaver, so he thought he'd take himself a peek. But the beaver was quick, and he grabbed him by the kiwis, and he ate his boy.
All right, welcome back to B Movies and Ebooks. That was Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver by Primus. That was the only beaver song that we could think of. But anyway, you want to talk about Zombievers, Brian?
Sure. Like, quick rundown of it?
Sure.
Basically, group of kids in a cabin besieged by zombie beavers.
Yep, that's a accurate and concise plot description.
Yeah. No, it's like basically three sorority sisters going out for a weekend in a cabin, right? On a lake. And there was an industrial accident that made some zombie beavers.
Yeah. And it was Bill Burr driving the truck.
And I think John Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer. It was Bill Burr, and John Mayer was in the passenger seat. Which, why would there be two guys driving, like, two truck driver guys?
Well, no. I mean, like, they would have to... Do you want to unload an entire truck full of toxic waste by yourself?
I don't know, but I've never seen dual truck drivers. But it was funny. And, you know, Bill Burr was pretty much just doing... playing himself. Mm-hmm. Just kind of...
John Mayer had the realest mustache of all time.
Yeah. These guys, as far as the filmmakers go, the only complaint that I had about this was it seemed like the tone was uneven. Very uneven. Because the beginning seemed almost trauma levels, where they were going for a lot of un-PC jokes and stuff. And obviously, in a movie about zombievers, there's way too many beaver puns. Yeah. But... other than that, then, you know, halfway through, it just the tone kind of shifts and it doesn't really keep a lot of humor other than some kind of slapstick. I mean, it wasn't dark at all. Don't get me wrong. It just kind of had slapstick humor.
I don't think it really got dark until the very end. Like the very end. Like the last scene.
The last scene, the only part I can remember was phenomenal.
But no, I mean, I don't know. I think it kept like a pretty comedic, humorous tone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of it. Just because it got to the point where what you're watching is just ludicrous, you know? I don't know. It was good. It reminded me very much of an 80s slasher flick. It was like a sorority house massacre type thing or something like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking if the movie had film grain, it could have been made in the 80s.
I will say that it was better and worse than what I was expecting.
It was so much better than what I was expecting.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, it kind of had this viral campaign behind it that, I don't know, I kind of bought into a lot of the hype, but, you know, it was fun. It was super fun. They just could have gone a little further with what they did. It would have been great to see the beavers made a dam of dead bodies. It would have been
That would have been good.
They could have done a lot more with these beavers than they didn't.
They did kill a guy by dropping a tree on him.
Yes, they did.
No, so the whole thing to me really had like this real 80s feel to it, right? Like the fact that they were sorority sisters, right? And there was a lot of point of view from the beavers.
Yeah.
Right? It reminded me of Critters.
Yeah. Right? It definitely had that Critters, Ghoulies, whatever, you know, just small puppets attacking people feel that was so predominant in the 80s.
It was a weird time, but no, I really did also appreciate all the actual practical beaver effects.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of CG, but there was a lot of, you know, beaver puppets, which I thought was nice.
I didn't see really any unnecessary CG, you know?
No, I mean,
they didn't use a lot of CG blood or anything, did they?
No, there was one point where it was really noticeable whenever the guy got his foot cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that was just because they had to cover up the fact that he actually has 2 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was fun. And that's one thing that's been lacking a lot these days, you know, as everything strives to go a little more realistic, even whenever we go back to the well and do reboots and stuff like that, people want to have more of a backstory on things and
dark and gritty reboots.
Yeah. And it's not that I'm against them. Last week I was saying that I think Fantastic Four could benefit from a dark and gritty reboot, but it's not that I'm against it totally. But I thought that this was just fun, and more than anything, that has been missing from a lot of movies these days. Mm-hmm. There's not many just super fun ones that aren't over the top, you know, like Sharknado or something like that.
Yeah.
Where this hit that line, went over it in certain ways, and then stayed where it probably should have throughout most of the movie.
Yeah, I think it was really well done. I don't know. Like, there was some points, I think, where it was a little maybe, you know, melodramatic or so in the acting, but I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
And, like, overall, you know, because my wife actually watched this one with me,
which
is weird. Yeah. And she kept commenting on how realistic, like, all the kids, whenever they were talking to each other, were. They were like, she brought up the point. It doesn't even feel like it was scripted. Like a lot of their conversations and stuff, it just seemed like you were watching six kids or, you know, six college students talking in a cabin, you know?
Yeah. I didn't really take note of that, but yeah, that there's nothing really that stuck out as far as that goes. Nothing felt out of place. Actually, the only thing that did feel out of place was the first beaver attack. I forgot what he said, but he said something that felt...
Was gnarly?
Yes.
Was it that?
Gnarly!
He's like, oh, it's gnarly.
Yeah. but I'm pretty sure that was on purpose. And I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. This is one that I kind of feel crappy for not buying it and renting it instead of buying it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I spent $7 on a rental. I might as well have just bought it. Because it's one that really would be fun for, you know, people to hang out, drink beers, and watch movies. This is that movie. And I'll definitely watch it again. I think it's really, really fun. But I don't have a lot to say about it. That's the problem.
Well,
I
mean, it's not like it was the deepest movie in the world.
There were no philosophical ramifications.
I think it was you know, super effective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It like, reminded it me a really... lot of Evil Dead 2 as far as when the people started turning, just the way they looked.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, you know, running with, honestly, a dumb premise, right? But then making something that's not a joke of itself. You know what I mean? Like, where it doesn't become a parody of its own self.
It's almost a satire of movies, but doesn't become a parody. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. it was good. I think it was really, really well done. You know, and you could see that there was, you know, this... it seemed like, anyway, this guy who... the director dude, Jordan Rubin, right? It seemed like he had, you know, a respect, a love of like 80s, you know, horror movies and stuff. At least is what it felt like to me. It felt like sort of a 80s crazy slasher flick love letter.
Yeah. It, honestly, what I kept thinking of is if Chris Siever toned himself down and had a budget, this is what would come out.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it still did have the offensive, you know, non-PC type jokes, but it didn't go so overboard where, you know, that you couldn't, you know, the average person couldn't take the movie seriously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It also kind of felt like Slither. Not Sliver with the Baldwin.
It was Stephen Baldwin.
As a completely different movie.
Same movie. But, yeah.
But, you know, it had that sort of feel to it.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And I think this is something you could pretty much... this is one of the few movies like this that you could pretty much recommend to anybody.
Yeah, it was fun.
It wasn't so over the top offensive that, you know, there was some nudity, some bad language, but it wasn't every word was the F word or anything like that, you know? And I don't know. I really, really liked it.
I think I only remember like maybe two or three F words in at all.
Yeah. There was
other stuff. So I'm kind of interested to see where this guy goes.
I am too.
Because this is his first real movie he's directed,
yeah. Right?
And his first real like movie he's written too. I mean, he's written a lot of other stuff. Like he was on Crank Yankers and like Craig Kilborn's Late Show and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just curious to see if like this is the sort of direction he's going to go, or if it's just like more traditional comedy or whatnot.
Yeah, I would say that he would probably skew more toward comedy than horror.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything else, like, on his list is all...
comedy.
You know, comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, people's first movies and stuff and try to gauge whatever trajectory their career is going to go on. But it was competently made and on a very low budget, so...
And like, honestly, because I didn't really know much about this movie before we watched it. What threw me off tremendously was the big Universal Pictures logo at the beginning. I was like, wait, what? Because I had no idea.
Oh, was it Universal Pictures? I know the same studio that put out Gods Not Dead did this. Not only that, they did another faith-based one over the weekend. And
is it that little boy one?
No, over this past weekend. It opened the same day Zombievers did. And they were like, what an interesting studio. But
yeah, because it was like Epix Films, but also Universal Studios.
Yeah, it was fun. So unless you have anything else to say.
I mean, there's really not much that you can go into besides like specific scenes that you liked without spoiling things. I mean, honestly, you know what's going to happen. People are going to die at the hands of Zombievers.
Yeah. And the preview spoils the fact that there are you know, people that become zombie beavers too. So
it was so good.
Not only that, they did a fake For Your Consideration for the Oscars. And it was just some dumb scenes. I was very excited to see this. So anyway, other than the fact that the tone just kind of shifted a little, I had nothing negative to say about it. And actually, the way that the tone shifted was welcomed to me, because I didn't want to see just horrible, you know, crappy jokes over the entire movie. You know? So anyway, that was that. We'll be right back with our review of Clown. All right, welcome back to B-Movies and E-Books. That was Cokie the Clown by NoFX. And with that, we're going to get into our discussion of the Eli Roth-produced film Clown.
So, oh, yeah, he was in Special Thinks and Zombievers.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just tying it all together.
You know what's odd? Now that you said that, I remembered that Eli Roth was in Clown off the IMDb page, but I don't remember him actually being in it. Do you?
Well, it said he was like, was it some Frowny the Clown?
Frowny the Clown. Who was that?
It was probably just because they didn't show the clown at the beginning, right? So it was probably one of the clown pictures they showed. You remember whenever they were looking through the book and stuff?
Yes.
It's probably that.
So. Anyway, this was an odd movie because it started as a joke. Like, they put out a fake trailer, and he said, you know, from the demented mind of Eli Roth, about a guy that puts on a clown suit and it wouldn't come off.
No, I think he said master of horror.
And so, anyway, and so it caught Eli Roth's attention. And from what I understand, from there, Eli Roth contacted the guy and said, let's do something with this. I don't really know. You know.
So is that John Watts, that guy that did it?
I don't know. Let me see. Well, I don't really know, but that's the guy that directed the movie.
Uh-huh.
I believe it probably was.
Yeah. We don't really ever fact check anything else.
No, we're more of fans than aficionados. So anyway, but yeah, so he ends up getting this guy involved in making an actual movie based on this goofy concept. And so I don't really know as far as Eli Roth's involvement, whether or not it was just more of throwing money at him and keeping out of the creative process, or actually being involved creatively with it. You know, producers can go kind of either way. And yeah. So anyway, so the premise in a nutshell of this movie is a man puts on a clown suit. He's a realtor, and they booked a clown for his son's birthday party, but the clown falls through. And so he's going through this
double booked.
Yeah. He's like, who double books a clown? And so anyway, he finds a clown suit in this mansion place, this estate that he's restoring to put on the market, and puts it on and dresses like this clown for his son's birthday party, and then the clown suit will not come off. And it turns out, like, it's the wig is his actual hair, and the suit itself, as much as he tries to like cut it off, it just can't be cut. And it lines up for some very effective clown gags in the movie. However, it relies on a very, very, very dark sense of comedy to get a lot of comedic out of the, like a lot of the comedic effect out of this movie. So, with that, I'll let you take it, Brian.
Okay. Sometimes I wish we planned these things a little bit more.
I only did that because I saw you staring at the ground.
So, I don't know. What do you want me to talk about it? Because I mean, that's basically it. Guy turns into evil clown, right? Hijinks ensue.
I don't know if you call it hijinks. And it's not really a spoiler since it's in the preview.
It's on like the movie poster.
What? You know,
it's like him being an evil clown.
No, what I was going to say, this part isn't really a spoiler since it was in the preview, but the clown needs to eat children. Or doesn't really
obviously
need to. He starts eating children. As far as why this wasn't released theatrically, I'm drawing a blank. There is no reason this should not be in the theater. You know, it had the Weinsteins' involvement, Eli Roth's involvement. It unlike Zombievers, if this was a low budget, it didn't look low budget. There was nothing preventing this, or that, you know, keeping this on VOD only. Like I don't understand why there wasn't a bigger theatrical release for this.
I don't know.
I think that it would have done well.
So I think if this was released in the theaters, it probably would have been, you know, completely different than what people were expecting. I bet people would have gone in expecting it to be a comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like a horror comedy, much like Zombievers. But then I don't know if they would have been disappointed, but they would have been at least a little probably confused.
Yeah. You know, I mean, marketing this might have been tricky, but I still think you throw Eli Roth's name on it,
people
would have gone. And not that he's kind of a divisive filmmaker, because the people either like him or don't. And for some reason, a lot of people don't, which I think is kind of a shame, because I think that he's effective. All of his movies are memorable in one way or another, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he really hasn't done that many movies. He's produced a lot more than he's actually made. So throwing his name on it, I mean, they did it with The Last Exorcism, and that movie became a hit, you know? So I don't really see why he wouldn't have, or why they wouldn't have done that. But I do agree, this movie itself actually did have an odd balancing act of keeping these clown sight gags, which made me laugh very hard, a lot of them, but I wouldn't call it a comedy at all.
Yeah, and I remember we were watching it and you were like, is this a comedy?
Yeah, are we bad people for laughing at this?
And it's like, because you're like, we're laughing, and I'm like, I don't know if we should be though. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, because there were no real jokes in it. It was a lot of sight gags.
Yeah, it was just situationally that he was a clown.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he killed people in clown ways, like in Killer Clowns from Outer Space or anything like that.
No,
you know,
no.
It was just like basically a demon that looked like a clown.
Yeah. It had one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time in it. The shotgun scene. Yeah. Or maybe just a gun.
Just a pistol.
It was a revolver. Yeah. But it's so dark of humor that it's not something that you can really, it's kind of like Feast, the movie Feast. It revels in so much of bad taste that when you try to explain the jokes and why you were laughing so hard, you just come off looking like an asshole. I don't know. But the one thing that I think about this is, you know, a lot of movies will not kill the cat, so to speak. You know, they don't kill animals or children. This movie, part of the plot is him going to eat children. And I think that was kind of...
This animal does, or this animal, this movie does both of those things.
Oh, yeah, the dog, too. Spoiler. But anyway, I really, really, I thought it was fun. I mean, this podcast, we happen to review two movies. This isn't fun in the way that Zombievers was fun. That movie was legitimately fun. You could recommend it to anyone. They're going to have a good time. This is more of a horror movie than Zombievers was.
Yeah, definitely.
But...
Because there were some genuinely creepy parts,
yeah,
you know, and just like the overall idea of it, which by the way was totally the haunted mask, right, from Goosebumps.
Yeah, it was. Anyway,
and go back to our Goosebumps episode for that review.
Oh yeah, but
it's weird.
It was fun. I don't know. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you probably have to be a little bit more of a horror movie fan to enjoy it, you know, as opposed to, say, Zombievers. You could just throw that at anybody. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it was quote unquote scarier, basically.
This didn't...
Like, my sister would not watch this probably at all because she's afraid of clowns.
Yeah, yeah. But see, there was so much of this movie that he didn't really do a lot of clown things. You know, it wasn't like
he was just a clown the whole time.
Well, but he didn't really, like, he wasn't throwing pies. He didn't pull out horns. You know, it was a guy stuck in a clown suit and the guy was turning evil versus an evil clown, you know?
Exactly. So, that's what I'm saying with like this versus Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is the only other clown based horror movie I can think of.
Dude, you got Serial Insane Clown Killer. You remember that? Yeah. He got
Sicko.
Huh?
Right? Sicko. Huh? Serial and Insane Clown Killer.
No, it's Sick. Serial Insane Clown
Killer. Yeah, Sick, yeah.
He got, I don't know, there's a lot of clown movies, but...
Yeah, but they all kill, like, in... Wait, we didn't even say it.
Yeah.
But we went to Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Sick before we hit it.
Yeah, and they all kill in clown ways, where this movie he didn't.
Exactly. Even it killed in clown ways.
Yeah.
With, like, the scene with all the balloons and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's like, this didn't do that. This could have been, you know, sort of a generic demon type thing. Right? Possession demon show, but he just happened to look like a clown.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking for like absurdity in your horror movies, then this is probably not the clown movie you would watch. But if you're just looking for a good horror movie that happens to have a clown in it, then I go for this one.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we watch this one together, which most of the time when we watch movies, we watch them apart, you know, in our own spare time. Mm-hmm. But we watch this one together.
Have no idea how each other liked it.
Yeah. But we didn't really talk about if we liked this afterward. I
we didn't.
I think it was just maybe implied that we both enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, no, I liked it a lot. I think that they really are missing an opportunity by not rolling this out theatrically. But maybe they'll do a strong marketing push whenever it comes to actual DVD. Because it was just released on Friday. So, I don't know. But it was fun. Very, very fun. I really, really liked it. And I'm happy that we found two things this week to review that we liked both of them.
It says the DVD and Blu-ray release was March 2nd.
That's not right.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, which is like the bastion for correctness.
Yeah, that's not right. It just hit VOD. But
I'm just telling you.
But I know that they had it was released in Italy last year. So
yeah, November 13th.
So Anyway, so
we do tons of research on this show. Definitely not while we're recording.
Yeah, what was it? We learn while you listen. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much it. Do you have anything else to add?
Well, I mean, like,
I would say it was really
it was really polished.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was nothing.
It looked good. You know, like, it looked a little like desaturated, you know, there was a little, which is weird because it was a clown and like even all his colors were muted and things like that. You know, but like the effects were really good,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they had to put a lot of effects into that because it was a slow transition, you know, because little things like his costume would start being a part of him and crap. Like that. But anyway, Peter Stormare was in it. These are all like high marks here for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got nothing to say to that?
No, I thought it was fun. I thought it was definitely worth a watch. Yep. Unlike Zombievers, I wouldn't say this is a party movie.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth a watch. And that's about it. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. So anyway, you got anything else?
I don't think so. Is this guy's, well, it's not his.
I think this is this guy's first
real big movie too, huh?
Yeah. So we watched two debuts.
So I'm kind of interested to see where this guy goes too. Yeah. It looks like he did a lot of comedy also.
Mm-hmm.
He did Onion Sports Dome and Onion News Network.
Which, yeah, that's kind of bizarre because this wasn't funny, haha. It was situational and sight gag funny. But very, very dark humor. So anyway, but yeah, I would recommend this to most people, especially horror movie fans. But it's not going to scare you in any way. There's nothing.
No, unless you're already afraid of clowns, it's not going to be scary.
But it was an effective movie. So anyway,
yeah,
that's pretty much it. All right. Yeah. I guess we'll be back in 2 weeks. Maybe.
Okay.
So we will see you then.
Yeah. Feel free to drop us a line on Twitter. Right. At B&E Pod. Right. Maybe we'll get back to you if we remember. And email bmoviesandebooks@gmail.com.